week in the Lord. It's good to see visitors here with us this morning. If you're visiting for the first time with us, thank you so much for being here. And if you're a returning visitor, we do appreciate the confidence you have to come back and worship with us today and hope to see you more in the future. It's been good to be in God's house already this morning. The singing was great, and I enjoyed the song just now. Thank you, ladies, for that. Choir, you did an excellent job. And I tell you, ladies, if you missed the banquet yesterday because of other arrangements, you missed a wonderful event. Ladies, y'all did great just seeing in and out. I would go ahead, if I was you, put it on the calendar to make sure that I would be there next year, because every year it's gotten better, and I really appreciate the effort that went into it, and that was amazing what I saw yesterday. Don't forget to sign up for any camps that's available. That's if you got there's time left for summer camps, junior and senior camps that are available. The Soldiers of the Cross Youth Rally is coming up. It's going to be held here at the church. There's some little bitty 3x5 invitation cards over here on the front of the pew. Take some, pass them out, and get them out to friends. It'd be a blessing if we could hit about 350 this year. You're invited. You don't have to be a teenager to come. All of you are invited to come. It'd be a blessing to, if you could, even the young ones, bring your younger kids. Bring them. It's a family event. We try to target teenagers, because this world is really, really devouring our teenagers. We need to have them around godly things, so that they will enjoy that. So we're going to go to the Word of God this morning in the book of Psalms. In the book of Psalms, somebody help me. What do you think is probably the most read psalm in all of the book of Psalms? There, without question, 23rd Psalm. How did y'all know I was going there this morning? Exactly where we're going. Psalms chapter number 23. You know, so many times things that are so familiar we take for granted. And I believe this is one of the psalms that we really, really take for granted. There are 6 verses. There's 118 words that meet us in all kind of troubles and difficult times. Brother Bernie, it's probably the most read psalm in the funeral homes. Put on cards, on the back of bulletins. We go to hospitals, we visit with people, we bring up this psalm, and we talk about this psalm. This psalm has probably dried many, many, many tears whenever people are sitting in heartache and pain and trouble and difficulty, death, sicknesses, things of that sort. This is one of the, I would probably say, it could be as popular as John 3:16, to be honest with you. A lot of folks know this psalm. It's kind of a particular location that's kind of unique in the Bible. Psalms chapter 22, if you look there first, let's just look at verse 1. Psalms chapter 22, verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Who said that? So there's the psalm of prophecy of the cross of Calvary, Psalm 22. If you read on through, y'all don't have time this morning to read on through. There's 31 verses, won't take you long at all at home. Verse 18 of Psalm 22 says this, they part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vestures. This is a prophecy in the book of Psalms that points to the cross of Calvary. It's amazing, amazing prophecy. Psalms 24, look at verse 6. This is the generation of them that seek Him, that seek Thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift up ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. This is a prophecy about the kingdom of God. So right there in the middle of this here, you got the cross, you have the kingdom, and all of a sudden, right there in the middle, you have green pastures, still waters, and peace that only God can bring into a person's life. Psalms chapter number 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What makes this psalm, this passage, these six verses, these 118 words, what makes this psalm so helpful to all who will just simply apply the message that's found there into their life? Now, I'm going to give you three reasons, which I think this morning is what is so helpful about this particular psalm. Now, to be honest with you, from Genesis chapter 1 all the way to Revelation 22, throughout the whole entirety of the Bible, the whole message is very helpful to all people, to every person. But this in particular, right here in Psalms chapter 23, I want to kind of scrape away at the familiarity of the chapter so that we can look at it and we can get some understanding, a fresh look that might help us in days to come. Maybe some of you are going through trials and troubles right here this morning that none of us know about, only you and God. Some of you might have health problems, sicknesses. Some of you may have lost a loved one here recently. And I want you to have a fresh look at Psalms chapter 23 so that you might have help in time of need. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews that we're to come to the throne of God boldly in chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4, and to find help in time of need. And so this verse, these verses which we've read, and this chapter which we've read through this morning, I believe are a great help during a difficult time. In verse 1, it says this, "The Lord is my shepherd." I wonder this morning if you're sitting here, is the Lord your shepherd? You know, the Bible says that He knows His sheep, and His sheep hear Him, and they follow Him. This morning, dear friend, this here verse, this whole chapter. Matter of fact, I'll be honest with you, dear friend, the whole entire Bible would not be any comfort to you if you know not Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. There's one thing you this morning need to hear this morning if you're lost, and that is that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary to pay the sin debt for all men. And you put your faith and trust in Him, not because you are a good person or want to be a good person, but because the Bible declares you a sinner before a holy and righteous God. Well, what in the world's a sinner? That's somebody that's transgressed the law of God. That's somebody that's fallen short of God's glory. I dare say that every one of us this morning has fallen short of the glory of God. That means there's the mark. There's the mark out there, and the mark is God. It's not the preacher, it's not the deacon, it's not the choir, it's not the Sunday school teacher. The mark is God. I don't think any of us can say that we match up with God. We've fallen short. Therefore, we need God, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, as our personal Lord and Savior. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, David had been a shepherd. David was very familiar with sheep. He was very familiar with the things of shepherd. Now he paints a picture by the help of the Holy Spirit of God as a sheep. Isn't that amazing? David the shepherd paints a picture as a sheep. You know, the Bible says over in Isaiah chapter 53, if you would. Hold your place back there in Psalms. We'll come right back there. Isaiah 53. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6. Well, it's so wonderful to hear Bible pages turning. Search the Scriptures, the Bible says, for they are they that testify of me. That's what Jesus said. Search the Scriptures. Isaiah 53 verse 6, the Bible says there, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now look over in Matthew chapter number 9. The Gospel of Matthew chapter number 9. And verse number 36. Jesus saw people as sheep. John chapter number 9, verse 36. The Bible says there in John 9, 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. As the Bible reads and we study this scripture in this passage in Psalms chapter number 23, we see that there is a presentation of the shepherd. And the question we must ask ourselves to ourselves and answer to God, is the Lord my shepherd? But we are all gone astray. We're sheep as gone astray as we could be, according to Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 6. And Jesus Christ is the great shepherd, as the Bible will show us here in just a moment, as we study it out. But you think with me about this question. Is the Lord my shepherd? Look with me over in John chapter 10. The Gospel of John chapter number 10. And verse number 11. The Gospel of John, chapter number 10, verse 11. The Bible says there, I am, this is what it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd, what does he do? Giveth his life for his sheep. Look over in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter number 13. I promise you this morning, dear friend, we'll be out of here real quick. This is a message that doesn't need any explaining. If you leave here this morning not knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, not being the shepherd of your life, it is because the God of this world has blinded your eyes that you might not hear the gospel and be saved. Jesus Christ, the great shepherd, gave his life for you that you might have eternal life. Look in Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 20. The Bible says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Not only is he the good shepherd, the Bible says here in Hebrews 13:20 that he is the great shepherd. Look in 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 4. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. In Psalms 23, the very first verse and the very first words of the psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. In John 10, 11, the Bible talked about the good shepherd that had died for his sheep. In Hebrews chapter number 13, verse 20, the Bible said he is the great shepherd. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 4, the Bible says he is the chief shepherd. In John chapter 14 and verse number 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I'm telling you, there's a bunch of false teachers and false doctrines, false prophets and false apostles and false disciples. I'm telling you, there's a bunch of wolves that are leading the blind straight off into a devil's hell. There is not many ways. There is but one shepherd. There is but one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He alone died on the cross of Calvary, was buried the third day, rose again, that you might have eternal life. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. Is He your shepherd this morning? Are you like a sheep that's astray, like Isaiah 53 and verse number 6? You know why this verse is so helpful to God's people? Because the shepherd has a special relationship with the sheep. He loves them. He cares for them. He feeds them. He houses them. He guards them. He protects them. When they're sick, he nurses them. When they are going astray, he goes out and he brings them back into the fold. He keeps the wolves away. He keeps the thieves away. And we do have a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, the devil himself. And he is the one that has conquered death, hell, and the grave. Only Jesus Christ is the great I Am. Amen. Dear friend, if he's not your shepherd this morning, this chapter could mean nothing to you. David could say, "The Lord is my shepherd." This morning, is that your announcement to us? Is that your announcement to God? I'm thankful that I can stand before you this morning and tell you that there was a time in my life that I came to the realization that I was a sinner before a righteous God. I had tried good things. I had tried bad things. I had tried evil things. I had tried righteous things. My own righteous things. Self-righteous things. I had tried religion. I got baptized. I sang in some specials. Matter of fact, I read the Bible all the way through one time as a 11-year-old boy that I might have the chance to win a bicycle. I did all that stuff, and if I would have died without Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, it would have been in vain. You know what Jesus would have said? "Depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you." Why? For with the mouth confession is made that I have done what? With the heart believe that Jesus Christ, the righteous, is my Lord and Savior. David could say, "The Lord is my shepherd." This morning I present to you the shepherd. The good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. The only way is the Lord your shepherd this morning. Is the Lord your shepherd this morning. Then I look at the provision that we see in verses 1 through 5. Here in the Bible. Back in Psalms, if you would, back in Psalms 23. Psalms chapter number 23, verses 1 through 5. Actually, 1 through the very first part of verse 6 we're going to look at there. Kind of cut it in half. But if you notice there, it says in Psalms chapter 23, verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd." I think we've covered that plain and clear. Jesus desires to seek and to save that which is lost. If you're lost this morning, if you've never trusted Christ, He wants to be your shepherd. But look, after you've trusted the Lord, He's become your shepherd, and you can say, "The Lord is my shepherd." The Bible says, "I shall not want." Dear friend, let me explain to you something this morning. God is enough. God is enough. He said, "I shall not want." He didn't just say that I do not want. The Bible says, and very clear, "I shall not want." Now here's the confusion. Wants that we have do not line up with the necessities that we need. Because we look at things that we want and we get them confused. Those are fleshly and carnal desires. When we get to the point where the Lord is my shepherd, what the Lord provides, it is enough. And we shall not want. I'm at the point in my life, and I'm not bragging on myself right now, dear friend, but my wife, she desires, like on special occasions, to do something for me. She says, "Honey, just tell me, what do you want? Tell me, is there something out there that you would like to have?" And I give her the honest truth, dear friend. I have everything, spiritually speaking, that I look at. There is nothing in this world that I want. Nothing. I'm going to tell you something different. When you get to the point where you are content in Christ Jesus, I'm not saying that you don't have to have things. I got things right now. Matter of fact, because of the goodness and blessings of the church here this morning, because y'all celebrated and honored me on my birthday last week, I have some Academy gift cards that I could go right now and buy me anything in Academy that is on the shelves. Up to a certain amount, of course. I went in there the other day, to be honest. I went in there. I drove over there. I've got gift cards there. And they're in my wallet. They're real thick. And I went in there. And I looked. And I looked. Well, that's nice. That's nice. That's nice. I like that. And I looked, and I looked, and I came out of there with a gift for somebody else. You know, the Bible says, more blessed to give than to receive. Where did that come from? Because I'm a selfish person by nature. Maybe you're not. Maybe all you want to do is just give. Give, 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 give. I'm not like that. By nature, I'm a very selfish person. That comes from a new nature given to me by my shepherd. For God so loved the world that He gave. He gave. He says, the Lord's my shepherd. I shall not want. This is what it says here. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. What's the, you think, okay, leads beside, what is it? What is a pasture? I mean, we got pastures over here all over the place. There's, you drive up down the road and you can see a pasture. What is that? You got to remember, this is a picture of a sheep. What is a pasture to a sheep? It's food. Where is our food? The green pasture for God's people is the Word of God. The Word of God. This is why it's so important, so necessary that we spend time in the Word of God. He leads us. What's the job of the Holy Spirit of God? He will guide us. What does it say? Let's read on. Go back. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That's guiding. That's leading. That's direction. Look with me over in John chapter 7. The Gospel of John, chapter number 7. And look at verse 37. John chapter 7, verse 37. The Bible says in John chapter number 7, verse 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. What in the world? Ain't it? I've been saved a long time. Ain't nothing come out of my belly out of living waters. He's not talking about literal water. If you look on and read on, the Bible says, but this he spake of the Spirit, which that they believed on Him should receive, and the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that the Jesus was not yet glorified. The waters there is a representation or a presentation of the Holy Spirit. When we receive the Holy Spirit of God as our into our life after salvation, we hear the gospel, we get saved, the Holy Spirit of God moves in, and the Holy Spirit of God is like a river of water springing up, living within us. That passes, the Spirit of God passes peace into our life and brings us there. And He guides and He directs and He leads us beside the still waters. That's why the Bible is very prompt to warn us about quenching and pressing down and pushing away and kicking against the leading of the Spirit of God. Because He's guiding us to green pastures. Why? Why? Because the shepherd knows where the best food is. Why would we kick against the one that's leading us to the best? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So when He's leading me to a place in my life, dear friend, quit fighting it and let the Holy Spirit of God lead you there, because there is still waters. What's still waters? Peaceful place to rest. I was watching the news the other morning, and they were talking about the waves and that had come in over the night. And they saw that they showed a picture of the seaweed that had come up, and it was about 14 to 15 feet up off of the waterline, almost up to the seawall. It was about 2 feet off the seawall, and it said that's where it is. And said yesterday wouldn't have been a good day to be at the beach, because the waves was up and it was billowing and it was the water was rapid and coming in and things like that. And I'm telling you, dear friend, that's where we lead in all of our life. We get into a place of confusion a place of emotional wreck because we let our emotions and our life lead us instead of allowing the Holy Spirit of God to guide and lead us to still waters. The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. He revives me when I'm down and discouraged. Not Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, but it is God. It's the Holy Spirit of God that He who restoreth my soul. When I'm backslidden away from God, it is God, it is He, the great shepherd, that leads me and restores me and guides me. He sets my feet back on a solid rock. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Why does He do all of this? Why does He makes it where I want nothing. He makes me to lie down in green pasture. He feeds me. He sits me beside still waters so there's no trouble in my life. He either calms me or helps me in that difficult time. And when I'm down, I'm depressed, and I feel like I can't take another step, He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. Why? For His name's sake. That's why He does it. He doesn't do it so that you get the glory. He says, for His name's sake. Every work that God does in your life is not for you. It's for Him. For Him. For His name's sake. Why? Because He wants us to have a good testimony. Do you understand the mess and the trouble that you're going through right now when God restores you? It is a picture, an example for someone else that's going through similar situations. They look at you and say, wow, if God did that, what amazement. For His name's sake. Oh, man, how do I say this without getting in trouble today? I'm telling you, dear friend, we need to quit this foolishness in America where everybody wins. We need to know what it is to lose so we have a desire to win. We have no driven desire anymore to win. We need to know what it is. I'm just telling you right now real quick, and I'm going to move on from this. If your child's playing in a sports league that doesn't take score, you need to get them to one that does keep score. It's foolishness. Foolishness. Oh, God. Where was I at? They led me there. Let me find this here. Where was I at? Because everything has become about us. It's all about me. It's all about my feelings. Not according to this passage. For His name's sake. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about my kingdom. It's not about my desires and my want. Everything that He's doing is for Him and His glory. Let Him have free reign in your life. Another thing, if your kid can't be coached, he ain't never going to get a job either. Because McDonald's is going to fire him. Your volunteer coach that you get onto every week, chew him out or her out. Well, if you just did right, let me tell you something. When it comes time for them to get a job, you ain't going to be able to run up there to McDonald's and chew out the manager. They're going to send you and your son or daughter down the road. So you can go get a job down yonder somewhere. We ain't putting up with this. Okay, enough of that foolishness. Let's move on. I told you I was going to get in trouble. Man, what? I got to drink some water, Brother Jim. Well, you got to calm down. Let's get back to this because I want this to be help. I want you to have a passage that's going to help you. So everything He's doing, He says, for His name's sake, because of Him. That's what He does. And then you go to the next verse, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The other day, Brother Chase and I was over in the print shop. I was hanging some lights and was trying to figure out where to hang the lights. In distance, so that you get the crossover and the pattern and stuff of that nature so that you're not having overkill. So you need the correct distance on that row and that row and the next, so forth and so on. You understand what I'm saying? How do you think we did that? When Brother Dwayne brought this up, when I was getting ready for this message, it went bang, there it is, right there. By the what? The shadow. The shadow. Brother Dwayne was sitting over, I'd stand over there, and I said, is that far enough? And it looked like it is far enough. And then all of a sudden, Brother Dwayne noticed the shadow. He saw the shadow. And we got a point. Yea, though I walk through the valley, what does it call it? Why is there shadows there? Because the light of the world, my shepherd, your shepherd is right with us. The only way you can have a shadow is by the light. No other way. If you're running around in your life and there is no shadows, it's because you're not around the light. You're not around the light. You have no reference point. You know what it is? Here it is. You know when I know, Jesus said, draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. You know what happens? You know how I know? There's shadows that begin to creep into my life. What is a shadow? Simple things. You know, they love darkness because their deeds are what? So when I'm out here and shadows start creeping into my life, some of you like that song, turn the lights down low, low, low. Okay, turn the lights up! Turn Jesus up into your life. You need light. He's the Word of God is the light of my path and the lamp under my feet and the light of my path. You know what's going on in our life, dear friend? We have no light. What do you say? We're like a city. Y'all help me. Some of you want my job anyway. A city sit on a hill. All he got to do is preach Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday, and he gets paid. Boy, what a job. Yeah. If God hadn't called me in this business, dear friend, I'm telling you, it'd be a whole lot easier to drive a truck. But like Jeremiah said, there's a fire in me, and I can't quit. Well, Brother Dwayne, where are you at? Oh, there he is. Brother Dwayne said, hey, Pastor, see that light, see that shadow? And then we figured it out. And I'm thinking in my mind, you know what? Wow. That's what it's talking about. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow. We think as death is dark. It's a dark time. It's a hurtful time. It's a painful time. It's a time where there's uncertainty. But yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, because I'm walking, he's right beside me. He said, lo, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's what he said. That's the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is my shepherd. As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he's right there with me. He's casting light. You know what our problem is? We get like Peter. We get our eyes on the shadow and not on the light. And we stumble and we trip and we fall. Christ is the light of the world. You know what he does there? So I fear no evil. Why? I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I fear no evil. Why? Why would I not fear evil? Because Jesus Christ, the righteous, is with me. He's the righteous with me. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You don't think about a staff or a rod bringing comfort, do you? It don't. But let me give you this example, because some of you done got beyond Scripture help. Chastening is a biblical thing. Okay? And when you get wrong with somebody, you get sideways with somebody, until there's correction, and sometimes it takes chastening to correct, there is no comfort being around them. Like the other day, I was preaching Wednesday night. What was the verse I was preaching out of? 2 Timothy 4, right? And it says, but in all things watch. Some of you think your kids don't pay attention in church, right? So after church, I was up here getting ready to take the bus and go down the road with the kids and get them back home. And one of the kids, Chaz, came up to me and said, Pastor, you know what happened today? You know when you said you need to watch your words? And I said to y'all, you need to be kind and have kind words? He said, my teacher told me today that being kind is courteous and courtesy is kind. They pay attention, dear friend. They hear. But it thrilled my heart that a young man was listening to the sermon. Because I look out there at some of you guys, I'm going to tell you, you're there. But you ain't. It's like your mind is a million places, and I don't want it to be on me. You need to cast your cares upon Him because He cared for you. But you come here and you're so weighted down, you're so bothered, so troubled with the cares of this world. You've done yoked yourself up with so much darkness in your life. You have no help and no strength and no ability to go. You're just doing all you can to stay. You're like a weeble wobble. Y'all know what a weeble wobble is? Okay, what about that thing you sit on your cars? You know, back in the 70s. That's how some of y'all look in life. Just so troubled and cared. You're like a wind and you just, everything that moves, you just wobble and weeble. Weeble wobble. Chaz, thank you for listening, son. You encouraged your pastor. You did. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And so sometimes, dear friend, the rod of the Lord. The other day, I got 8 goats down at the house, down at the parsonage, and I've been letting them go every evening or every morning. I let them out, and I just let them go, and I've been practicing shepherding. And I got me a long PVC pipe, it's about that tall, like that. And I noticed, Brother Jim, that if I put that rod over there, that staff, they know not to go. They go that way. They're learning. They even know how to talk to me now. Yep. And here they come running. I honestly think I'm kidding you. When the Bible says, my sheep, here we go down there and talk to them after church. I bet they don't even listen to y'all. They won't even speak to you because they're my goats. Listen, sometimes I got to correct them. But you know what I do? I correct their path and I get them over here and I lead them right back over there to their food and to their water, that fresh water that's come out of that pot. And there's comfort sometimes, but sometimes it takes the rod and staff to bring that comfort. Comfort don't always come easy. It does not. We got to quit being such a soft society that sometimes, you got to be gotten on to. The Word of God's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. You know why we get mad as Christians? Because we don't realize that there's sometimes chastening that comes from the Word of God. But what happens after we are, afterwards, it what? Hebrews, what does it say? Afterwards. Go to Hebrews, because we're not leaving until y'all get this. I don't care if we stay here till 3 o'clock. Go to Hebrews. Where's the chapter that talks about chastening? I heard it. Say it again louder. 12. Yeah, there it is. Was it, what passage, Brother Jim? James? Afterwards, it yielded. Oh, 11. 12:11. Hebrews 12:11. Now, no chastening, for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Amen, kids. Agree with God. He said it. Nevertheless, amen, parents. Afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. That's why the rod and the staff brings comfort. That's how it works. That's how it works. All right, let's move on real quick so I can get you home. I don't want you to come chasing on me. Oh, okay, let's read this one. Let's go back to Psalms. Here it goes. Verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou preparest a table. Then he says, before me, prison and enemies, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. All of this God, our shepherd, does for us. Don't finish there. Verse 6 says, surely goodness and mercy. You know what Spurgeon said about goodness and mercy? Spurgeon said they're like twin guardian angels. One's to our back and one's to the back of us, and the other one's at our beckoning. What do we cry out for? God, give me mercy. I need mercy, Lord. And Spurgeon said this, grace and mercy is like two guardian angels for us. Aren't you thankful for God's mercy and God's grace? God's mercy and God's grace. That is all of this, verses half of verse 1 down to half of verse 6, is all of the provision for the sheep. Isn't that amazing? The Lord is my shepherd. Just emphatic. And then he goes on to tell us all that he'll do for us in five and a half verses total. And then if you look there, it says, "In mercy, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So you have the Lord is my shepherd, verse number 1. You have the provision there, and then all of that prepares us for eternity. You know the only way you're going to spend forever in the house of the Lord? The only way, there ain't but one way. Back to verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Listen, Spurgeon said this, and we're closing. Charles Spurgeon said, "While I am here, I will be a child along with my God." Aren't you thankful that you're God's child? "The whole world will be His house to me." Isn't it say that? The fullness of this world, it was made by Him. It's His. Heaven and earth is His. It says here, Spurgeon says, "The whole world will be His house to me. And when I ascend into the upper chamber," when's that? When God calls me home by death or by the rapture, "I shall not change my company." Ooh. Boy, some of you have to change company. I hope not. "I will not change my company, nor even change the house. I only go to dwell in the upper story of the house of the Lord forever." What's Spurgeon saying? Heaven and earth belongs to the Lord. We're just pilgrims passing through. How could he say that I'm just changing stories? I'm going up to the upper chamber. How? Because he knew the Lord is his shepherd. It's the Lord's your shepherd this morning. See, we want half of verse 1, half of verse number 6, without the four words in verse number 1. You can't have all of the provision without the shepherd. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Pianist is coming. Brother Jim's going to lead us in a song of invitation. I do not need to tarry long on this invitation. Jesus is the great shepherd. If you're lost this morning, the altars are open. I'll be right down here praying. If you need to know more about salvation, would you please come and let us share the Word of God with you. Perhaps you're just looking for comfort. It's there. If He's your shepherd, why don't you come find green pastures, find rest in our Lord.